in the morning. We walk and pray together. And this is Saturday morning. And we had never had breakfast at Whole Foods. So we thought, well, let's go to Whole Foods and have breakfast. So we did. So we're sitting there, and this young lady, who actually we learned subsequently was from Trinidad, sat next to us. She looked like she had been jogging, and she's a slight, small woman, ordered this huge breakfast. So I said to her, have you been running? She says, yeah, I just did 8 miles. I said, I had a short run today, 8 miles. And she's training for the Baltimore Marathon. So I said, as JB has helped us to learn to do, I said, well, have you ever thought of life as a marathon? And she goes, yeah. So we started talking about that, how comparing life to running, days that are great, days that aren't so good, days in the rain, etc. All that led to a conversation about the Lord. Like Fred and Paul's experience, it turns out she was a believer, but her faith had grown lukewarm. And I said, well, I've got a great, where do you live? She says, I live just outside Columbia, and Ellicott says, I have a great church to recommend to you. Bridgeway. You thought I was going to say our church. I said, Bridgeway. And she said, that's my church. And she said, I don't believe this was a coincidence or accident that you all were sitting next to me and we were having this conversation this morning. And she had pain in her leg. She experiences pain in her leg when she runs 15 miles. I have that same problem. So we asked her if we could pray for her leg, and she let us. So we prayed for her leg, and that's how we ended our time with her, praying with her. So praise God. Let's keep it up, all right? So that leads to my subject that I want. Thank you. Yeah, it leads to the subject I want to speak about today called Keeping on Track. Hello, got a PowerPoint? Oh, I got to click it? Oh, there we go. Thanks. Keeping on track, all right? Notice that steam locomotive. I don't know if you know, America was built by steam locomotives, going across our nation. Locomotives generate an incredible amount of power. And God, over the years, has used trains as metaphors for our church, our congregation. And I want to take a few minutes before we enter into the Lord's Supper to talk with you about staying on track. And, you know, if we want to make a trip from Washington, D.C., across our country to Seattle, there's a couple different routes we can take that will allow us to reach Seattle, our destination. But what would it be like if you're on that train and it takes a more southerly route? You're just traveling along in the passenger car. You're enjoying the beautiful scenery out west. And all of a sudden, you realize we're heading towards the wrong destination. Wow, that would be a little frustrating, wouldn't it? Well, I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, this morning, that I believe that New Heritage Community is heading towards the right destination. All right? So if you have any thoughts that would persuade you or dissuade you or cause you to think otherwise, I want to tell you, we're heading towards the right destination. Now, I want to preface that with the fact that, hey, there's no perfect church. Everybody agree with that? John Wimber once said, and I loved it, he said, show me a perfect church and I'll go and join it. It won't be perfect any longer. You know? So, yeah, there are ways in which we can improve. There are some people that probably think we should pray more. Some people think we should worship more. Some people think we should evangelize more, et cetera, et cetera. There's always room for improvement, yes? But I believe that we are on the right track, that we're heading in the direction that God has called us to take. Many, many years ago, about 30 years ago now, 20 years ago. Oh, almost 30 years ago. I had the only open-eyed vision I've ever had in my whole life. I was walking. We were in Columbia at that time. I was walking home. I'd often walk to my house was close enough to where our offices were. I could walk. And I saw this cruise liner, luxury ship. That's actually the Queen Mary. And the words that came to me were people were saying, the church is a luxury ship. The church is a cruise liner. And I said, and two individuals whose names, even if I mentioned this morning, you know who they are. So I'm not going. They're not here in our midst. But I don't want to say their names for that reason. They were out of the boat in a life raft saying, everybody, abandon ship. Abandon ship. This ship's going down. It's going to sink. You need to get off the boat. And then the ship sank. And the two men in the life raft, it's like they had champagne glasses. Clink, we told you it would sink. And I'm there watching this open-eyed vision. As you can imagine, this is just, I'm telling it in a few minutes. It took like maybe a minute or seconds. And they're sitting there going, wow, they should have listened. And then you know what happened? The ship came back up. It was a battleship. It was a battleship. God has called us to be that battleship. And a battleship is designed to engage in all sorts of warfare, to deal with submarines, to deal with aircraft, to anti-aircraft, to deal with all sorts of circumstances. And that's what God has called New Heritage Community to be, that battleship. Amen. So when we're dealing with trains, when we're dealing with a journey, you know, if we were to travel by train to Seattle, it's a long trip. Do you know that? You can probably get there as quickly driving. Do you know why? So many stops. Yeah, Linda and I, one summer, we were living in Pensacola, Florida, and we were coming to Louisville for Christmas, and we thought, you know, it'd really be fun to take a train. We've never done that before. Oh, my gosh, we've got to walk there more quickly, you know? I mean, you know, stop after stop after stop after stop, you know? So, but what can keep us to getting to that destination? Well, obviously, if we're on the wrong track, we're not going to get there, right? But the other, what else can happen? We can be derailed, yes? All right? And let me tell you, the enemy wants to derail you. Every one of us. He wants to derail us. How does he do that? Well, it's important that we realize that the enemy is not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He doesn't know the future. He only responds to what he sees. So it's like he sees the fire burning and he says, wow, there's a fire. Let me pour a little more oil or gasoline on that fire. And then what we do is we respond to him sometimes far too often and say, yeah, you're right. You're right. And so we end up being disappointed or disillusioned or discouraged, or we end up in disagreements, or we find ourselves in a place of dissatisfaction. It's the enemy just saying, yeah. I mean, hey, I can say this, I have had a very, very challenging week. I had a day on Wednesday when I went through 8 hours of conversations that were all heavy duty. And then my wife and I had an 8-hour conversation with a couple yesterday. They came to our house at 12:15 and didn't leave till 8:45. It was exhausting. It was difficult. It was hard not to be discouraged. It was hard not to be disillusioned. It was hard not to be disappointed. It was hard not to be discouraged and dissatisfied. But you know something? If we give in to those feelings, guess what happens? We get derailed, don't we? We get derailed. So Jesus said to us in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 25, he says to agree with your adversary quickly while he's in the way with you. Now, he's speaking about a situation like, you know, someone wants to take you to court, someone wants to sue you. But don't we know that whatever God speaks in the natural, also there's a meaning in the spiritual? Who is our adversary? The enemy. Yeah. So what you need to do when Satan gives you these lies, these words, is just say, yeah, you're right. Things are pretty bad. Yeah, you're right. This could be very discouraging. Yeah, you're right. This could be very disappointing. Yeah, you're right. I'm in the middle of a disagreement. But you know something? God's bigger than this. And you're defeated by Jesus Christ. You have no power. You're a toothless tiger. You don't have any authority over my life. Jesus is the one that has the authority over my life, not you. Get behind me, Satan. You know. You just speak at him. You just laugh at him. Yeah, I like that. Just laugh at him. Just laugh at him. See? Yeah. And don't allow him to sidetrack you, to allow your train to jump the rails. Well, the last thing that can happen is that we can run out of steam. Can you imagine that? Steam locomotive right in the middle of the western desert and it runs out of steam. That's a tough situation, isn't it? We can run out of steam. Now, what on a locomotive, let's just think for a minute, what creates that steam? Well, you have coal or wood, create a big fire, right? And they superheat water to become high-pressure steam that pushes these giant pistons. Those things are so heavy that there's not a man in this room that could lift one of them by himself. And yet that steam pushes that piston and moves that train, all those cars down the track. Incredible amount of power. But if you don't have any steam, it's not going to move, is it? And I'd like to suggest that when we think of steam, when we think of fire, when we think of fuel, we might think of God, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need all three, don't we? Three in one to work in our lives, to create that steam. So what is it that allows us to run out of steam? How do we run out of steam? Well, we run out of steam when we fail to give ourselves to the purposes of God. When we're not giving ourselves to reading in God's Word. When we're not giving ourselves to worshiping, to worship, to prayer. Those basic disciplines we all need. We never outgrow those. And we need those, not in a legalistic sense, so we can just say, well, I checked my box for today, you know. But so that we can keep the steam going in our engine. You see? We want that steam to be going. And the other thing we need is fellowship. We need fellowship with one another. And that's so important. I was so blessed last week after our service. There were a group of ladies sitting with one of our sisters, counseling with her, praying with her. There's a whole big circle. They were here till 1 o'clock or later, 1:15, just with her. I thought, that's what it's all about. This is it. Just sharing life with one another. That's why we come here on Sunday morning. We don't come here to just listen to some nice songs or to hear a great message preached by Fred. You know, we come here. We come here to experience what? Community and the presence of God. You know, I come to experience the Lord's presence because I need that presence. I need it. And so I need that steam in my engine that comes from the presence of God. And I when I drive around, and I do a fair amount of driving every day, sometimes I'm on the phone. But when I'm not listening to the radio, I'm not listening to podcasts, and not that there's something wrong with that, don't hear me wrong. But most of the time, I'm listening to worship music and singing and worship. Why do I want to do that? So I want to stay in that presence. I want to stay in that presence, you know, throughout the day, on into the evening, because I want to keep that steam in my engine. See? I want to keep the steam burning, the fire burning, and the steam going so that my engine can keep moving so that I can stay on track. See? And that's what God wants for each one of us, for every one of us. And so this is a great introduction to our time of the Lord's Supper, because when we experience the Lord's Supper, we experience His what? His presence. His presence. So He's adding more fuel to that fire. He's adding more steam to our engine. He's helping us to run along those tracks as God has intended for us to run. Amen? Amen. Well, let's, Conrad, if we can load that next set of slides, please. Yeah. And Father, we just thank You that You've put us on track, that we're on a track, and that You're taking us on a journey. It's a long journey. It's if we think of Your church going back to the beginning of its creation, when You poured out Your Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and birthed the community of believers, that's a long track. And thank You that You've put us on that track. And thank You that You keep us moving along the track, and that You have a destiny, a future, a plan, and a purpose for our community, for New Heritage Community. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.